from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning, happy Tuesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing after that first 2 hours of radio?
Great. I'm really enjoying myself.
Yeah, I'm enjoying myself too. But we got a lot. It's just going to be a lot happening in this 11 o'clock hour.
Yes. In fact, we have a guest coming up because King County Council member Reagan Dunn just sent us an email. It was a press release was just coming out right after we wrapped up our conversation about homelessness. And he is proposing something for that park that is right next to the King County Courthouse. So we want to talk about that because he wants immediate action done on it. So
okay,
So we do breaking news here. So we're going to have him on in about 8 minutes from now.
All right. Well, let's get to Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Johnny Tsunami.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
So everything I'm seeing says it's going to be 96 in Seattle on Sunday. Gee, you saw 100 in Tacoma over the weekend. Is this really going to happen? And how do we deal with this?
Look, I went and got another app as well. And the next app I got says it's going to be 100 on Sunday and 99 on Saturday. You know
where?
What I mean?
Where? In
Tacoma. Chelan? In Tacoma.
No.
I also had some good people of the G and Ursula Show text in and said, yeah, G, I got the same app, too, and I see it. Yes. So you trying to tell me I got bootleg apps.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell you that I'm going with, you know how Nick always tells us about the different models they use. Right now, He's predicting mid-90s. I'm going with that. I can remember on my hand how many times we've hit 100 in the past few years. It doesn't happen very often. So that is a big news story locally if we hit 100. That's a whole nother category.
Here's the bet.
Okay.
If we at all touch 100, and remember, it's pronounced hunted, we hit 100 this weekend, Ursula has to send your boy lunch Monday.
And if we don't, I'll send you lunch.
I'll send you donuts on Fresh Fridays.
No. No, you'll send me lunch. Okay, let's make it vague. Where is it going to hit 100?
It has to. Okay, all right, let's make it fair. It has to hit 100 in either Everett area, like Snohomish County, King County, or Pierce County. Fair?
Okay, no. How about we do, because where are you going to choose to do that? We need to do it SeaTac Airport, which is the... That's the standard. That's where they say, okay, at SeaTac Airport, they've got all the best equipment. That's where we do it. SeaTac Airport.
Ursula, hold on.
So that's between Seattle and Tacoma. Well,
Ursula,
not really,
can you give your boy, fair, all our listeners, they're listening right now, they heard me say it, Snohomish County, King County, Pierce County, if any of them spots hit 100. By the way, we got people texting in right now. A lot of people, for some reason, must have got adjusted. They must have got bootleg apps, too, because a lot of folks are texting in saying, yep, I've got 100 on mine as well.
Okay. Deal.
Okay.
So this is about the state vaccine lottery program. Washington Lottery said yesterday that 159 of the 251 prizes from the second shot of a lifetime drawing have been claimed, but they said 92 people didn't respond to multiple attempts to reach them via phone, email, or text. Ursula, do you think this program's working, and has it gotten people who weren't going to get vaccinated?
Now, the state claims that they've seen a bump. They've said they've seen a bump of about 60,000 people between last week's lottery and today's. I don't think it's the lottery that's doing it. I think the lottery is good, and in fact, there have been surveys done across the country. The only place it really worked was Ohio. They were the first, and it was kind of a big deal. And they did see a big two-week bump in adult vaccination rates because they had that million-dollar draw. Other states followed. They had some small gains, but not big surges. The fact that so few people are even claiming their prizes should tell you something. I think the biggest draw for people to get the vaccine is the fact that we're opening up and you want to be able to do everything that you used to do pre-pandemic. I think that is honestly going to be your biggest. And if you're not going to do it, a chance at winning suite tickets, no matter how great they are, that's not going to be enough if you are adamantly opposed to getting it.
Right.
So for me personally, I think it was kind of a bust.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a bust because let's keep it real. Right now, I notice the creditors are calling folks. COVID is getting past. Folks are getting out, opening up. We want our money. So those 1-800 numbers are calling. The 253, we don't recognize that number, all the different numbers. So what it really comes down to, Ursula, is there are some people that is like, don't answer that call. I don't know who that is. Let them leave a message. Now, are they leaving a message? You know what I mean? Are they saying, hey, so-and-so, can you give us a call back?
Yeah,
we don't know what's going on.
You should be able to easily figure out that it is the state calling for the lottery.
Right.
So that shouldn't be a problem. I don't think that's the answer either. I really don't think the lottery is the incentive or donuts are the incentive. It's now people just deciding, if I'm going to get it, if I was already on the fence or just haven't gotten around to it, maybe they're the ones who will be persuaded by the lottery. But otherwise, the only reason they do it is because they want to be able to fully participate without having to worry about it. That's what I'm saying. I'm sticking to it. What do you think, Chris? You agree?
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah.
That. Okay, a new study says unsatisfactory relationships are as bad for you as smoking. The researchers studied 30 years of health and death data on 10,000 men in Israel. They say being unhappy with your marriage or even thinking that your marriage is bad made the men as likely to die of stroke or blocked arteries as smoking or lack of physical activity. Gee, do you think a bad marriage can kill you?
I feel attacked. I feel attacked that you
Honk
would even
if you've
ask
been married
me.
To G.
Oh, stop it, Ursula. Stop it with that. I feel attacked. Now, I 100% believe that a bad marriage can kill you, kill the man, kill the woman, kill whoever in the relationship. Yes. You know, as someone who has been.
And you're talking health-wise.
I'm talking health-wise. Not Dateline,
yes.
48
yes,
hours,
exactly.
mystery-wise.
Yes.
I'm talking health-wise.
Yes.
As someone who's been terrible with marriage, right, and I'll admit to that, the one thing I can say that as I'm starting to get older, I'm starting to understand as I am in a committed relationship now, I'm understanding that a successful relationship has to be more than about love, right? It has to be more than that. It has to be about a sense of, if you will, duty and a sense of serving and a sense of honoring and a sense of like goals and doing things together and tackling all of the problems that the world has together and those things. So it has to a little bit be more about love. So in this case, Ursula, I'm agreeing with you. If you're in a terrible situation and the work world is tough and the news world is tough and then you come home and then your home life is tough, then where do you get your relaxation at? Your high blood pressure is high even with sodium in when you go to sleep.
I agree to some extent, although I'm always skeptical about these studies because we don't know what else was going on in these people's lives. So smoking versus a bad marriage. I mean, there could have been a lot of things about a bad marriage, but when you have a bad marriage or a bad relationship that causes stress, what does stress do? Nothing good comes of stress when you have too much of it. I used to thrive on stress, but stress causes, I mean, it hypertension, it can cause you to stress eat, then it's, being overweight, diabetes, heart issues, all sorts of things. So I'm skeptical about the study, but I think the premise is right that, yes, if you're in a bad relationship, absolutely, you could have some serious, serious health consequences for that. The reason we are slowing down and pausing right now is because we do have a guest on the line. We thought it would be really important for you to hear this because as we were talking about the homelessness crisis in the last hour, we got the message from King County Councilman Reagan Dunn's office that he is proposing something, and he joins us now on the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Councilman.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us again. So tell us about this proposal, because we have talked the last couple of days about the crime and the problems that are stemming from this particular encampment next to the courthouse.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit like a war zone down there right next to the King County Courthouse in downtown Seattle, and that City Hall Park that is right there has become a hotbed of criminal activity. And one of our employees just stumbled on a body coming home from work the other day, as you know. And
yes,
our prosecutor says there are 2 to 5 assaults every single week, as reported by our employees. And so it's really unfortunate. So what I've decided to do is move that King County condemn City Hall Park and take ownership of that park. And there's a lot of reasons behind it, but one of the problems we have is that the city of Seattle polices that area, including the sidewalks, and we only have jurisdiction on the buildings or land we own. And so because of this incredible escalation in crime, I'd like to condemn it so that we can take it into ownership, maybe put a pavilion on site and other services, and then do proper policing so that we don't see, you know, murders. And for example, a man was accused of kicking a dog to death just the other day, and a lot of other challenges that we can avoid if we have proper eyes on the ground and provision of services there.
Hey, Councilmember Dunn, first of all, I think this is fantastic. I want to start off with saying that. But let me ask you this.
Thank you.
Why now? Like, why did it take so long for this to kind of get going, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I will tell you, I mean, it's a great question. I'm proud to sort of be the only one, first one on the council to stand up for this. I will commend Superior Court Presiding Judge Jim Rogers and others for his leadership. They have said enough. And so finally, as we're emerging out of the pandemic, I think it makes sense to do this. But we have seen an 86% increase in murders in King County. We are at a 30-year high in crime now. And summer is here. And, of course, summer is when we get the highest levels of criminal activity. So it's time to take action. We need to really think about community safety moving forward. And that's why I'm doing this today.
Okay. I need to ask, though, a little bit. It sounds good, but I'm just want to look at the practice. As Gio says, I need to get facts in the way of a good situation. So you would condemn the property. So who would you have to have approval from to before you would be able to do that, first of all? Would this be something that city council signs off on?
No, and thank goodness for that, because the city council is not going to do anything and refuses to provide the authorization to police that area in a serious way. So what this requires is the King County Council to condemn the land. So we can't condemn a piece of property without providing just compensation for the landowner. What people don't know is municipal governments can condemn one another's land if there is a use for it. And the state law allows a use here. And so the King County Council would vote on this. I need to get 5 of the 9 members to do that condemnation. And then we have to pay fair value for the property, which isn't cheap, but it's doable. And I think then we create a campus down there that can be properly policed and enforced. And then also we can control the activities that happen down there. And I want to be also clear because, you know, we got a homeless problem. But we also have a crime problem. Okay. And, you know, sometimes there's some blurring between those lines, but they're separate issues in a lot of different ways. And they're the same in some ways, too. But we got to address both homelessness and criminal activity. And there's a different set of services for each one of those. And we can better address each of those causes, I think, if we have control of the property.
And you're talking about condemning this property. And then you said, Bill, obviously this is a very early in the stage. You're just proposing it now. You don't even know yet if you have 5 members of the council who agree. But
yeah,
you're talking about removing park space from a city or downtown area that doesn't have a lot of it. Are there any other steps that could happen besides removing a park altogether?
Well, we wouldn't remove all of the park. We're certainly part of it as park space. One of the things that people forget is in the 1930s and 40s, the entrance to the courthouse faced directly south into that park, and you can still see the entrance pavilion and everything there. And Bob Ferguson, my friend, and I, who ran against the Jennifer Attorney General some years ago, both agreed and sponsored an amendment that was going to change the entrance back to the south as opposed to entering off 4th Avenue. So I think we should revive that discussion in the interest of community safety. And then the Leafs and Spark Place, we might increase the pavilion, extend it out a little bit. But Again, it's really a question of jurisdictions and various priorities addressing public safety. It's clear the city of Seattle hasn't done what they need to do to keep that space safe, so we have to step in and take action.
And you saw what happened on 3rd Avenue, right? Because we talked to Chelsea.
Yes, all the time, but go ahead.
But City Councilman Andrew Lewis was on with us earlier today was touting what happened to clean up 3rd Avenue. And he's talking about scaling that up so that we could do it. And I'd asked him about City Hall Park. You don't have confidence that the City Council could do what they did with that stretch of 3rd Avenue again at City Hall Park.
I have great respect for Councilmember Lewis. He's a good guy. We worked together for years. But if they are championing that as a success story, we have problems. I will tell you why. My window in my office looks out to 3rd Avenue. I was just up there late last week. I'll be in there later today. And it is a mess directly across the street from 3rd Avenue. And to suggest somehow that there's tents out there, there's drug deals out there, and that isn't a success story. It just isn't. And so we have to figure out a way to do something that is beyond the simple press release and actually results in less assaults and better feeling of community safety. So jurors, for example, are more comfortable coming in and serving in jurors here, and people can feel more comfortable getting their marriage licenses and everything else that the courthouse does, because it's the people's courthouse. It's what it is.
Well, it has been a mess, and it has been a crime-ridden area for sure, which is ironic since it's the home of the area where Seattle police are, King County police are, all business happens there. And it's been such a problem for so long. We appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate that. And we'll continue to fight that fight and see if we can get improved safety.
Thank you. That is Councilmember Reagan Dunn joining us on the G and Ursula Show. Okay. Coming up still ahead, we are going to be doing what, G?
We're going to be having on former King County, King 5 news person, Alex Rozier, is going to join us, and he's going to talk about the announcement in which an NFL player, an active NFL player, has recently come out and told the world that he was gay. We talk about that next. It's G and Ursula.
It is now 11:33 on this Tuesday morning. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on the G and Ursula Show. This hour of our show is brought to you by Guardian Operations. Las Vegas Raiders defensive end Carl Nassib is now the first active NFL player to come out as gay, and he made his announcement yesterday in this Instagram post.
I just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest. I'm a pretty private person, so I hope you guys know that I'm really not doing this for attention. I just think that representation and visibility are so important. I actually hope that one day videos like this and the whole coming out process are just not necessary. But until then, I'm going to do my best and do my part to cultivate a culture that's accepting, that's compassionate. And I'm going to start by donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project.
And that Trevor Project is a nonprofit dedicated to suicide prevention efforts for LGBTQ youth. This announcement was all over, not just on social media, but news headlines. And I was asking G, I wanted to talk to you, G, about do we feel like this is still necessary and still important, given that I think there's much more acceptance of the LGBTQ community. And you had said absolutely, and we wanted to invite someone to join us in this conversation. Alex Rozier is a reporter at WFAA in Dallas, Texas, but he was a reporter here at King 5 News too. And I haven't shared this, but Alex was one of the reporters that he was a student, and I was a judge in a competition for the Hearst Foundation, and we chose him as one of our top reporters at the time, top student journalists. In any case, it's Pride Month, as you know, and Alex made this video.
Now that I have your attention, I'd like you to know I'm a native Minnesotan, I'm a Texan, I'm a son to two great parents, brother to an incredible priest, a reporter for WFAA, and I'm gay. I like that after nearly three decades of my life, I'm now comfortable with who I am. I love that I've been blessed with a family and a great group of friends who support me for me. And I love that we're moving in a direction as a country and in this world where all of us are going to be supported for who we are.
And Alex now joins us on the phone. How you doing?
Hey, I am well, and I thank you still for selecting me in that competition. I appreciate that.
You, Brandy Cruz. I mean, that was a good crop.
that was a good class. I still remember that.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, absolutely. I got to tell you, listening to that video, Alex, I got goosebumps. Why did you put together that video? And it sounded like it was a campaign for your station as well.
Yeah, our station has done a number of stories during Pride Month, and I really appreciate it. And, you know, especially down here in Texas, it's a big thing to do, and I give them a lot of credit for you know, just really including us in the conversation as we talk about inclusion and diversity over the past few years. And it's been really nice. But, yeah, I mean, why did I do it? I think my story is pretty unique. I mean, my brother is a Catholic priest. I grew up in a small town in northern Minnesota where nobody was openly gay. And, you know, it took me three decades of my life to realize that it is okay for me to be who I am. And, you know, I'm in a unique position to have a platform and a microphone that's heard by a lot of people. And I think there's a lot of people who can relate in some way to my story, if not them coming out, but maybe they've known somebody, or maybe at some point they'll be in the room with somebody who is coming out. And I just wanted to try to spread that message and just, you know, bring everybody to the table to say that, you know, the people of the LGBTQ community, and as we're seeing with Carl and the NFL yesterday, are every type of person. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to share that this month too.
The defensive end, Carl Nassib, who is a very good football player. The Raiders thought so in giving him a contract in 2020. $16 million guaranteed. I mean, that dude can play some football. Why is it important for Carl to come out and give that message? Because I've had people text me and message me and say, well, this shouldn't be a big deal. Why to you is it a big deal that Carl made this announcement?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is such a big deal. I mean, you look at professional sports today, and he is the first open, active NFL player to come out gay. And, I mean, you just base it on numbers and statistics, and I know already. I know a couple of guys in the NFL who are gay and not out. I mean, there are more people who are gay and not coming out. You know, professional sports world, to their credit, have done things in the past few years that have been nice. You know, they've done the Pride Nights and the things like that where they welcome in the LGBTQ community and they set their pride flags as their NFL logos for, you know, a day or two or whatever. That's appreciated. But there's a difference between a Pride Night and having athletes who feel comfortable coming out. And I think that this guy's a trailblazer. I really do. And I hope that there's other guys, people in professional sports, men and women, who feel inspired and empowered by his message and feel comfortable coming out, because that's going to be big. I mean, not just for the professional sports world, but for the young kids who are athletes, who are growing up and maybe are members of the LGBT community or not, but they just to see that, you know, there are people, all types of people in professional sports, and no matter who you are, you can get to the top.
Alex, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, so I know that you're in a very visible profession, and so is Carl. It's Nassib, right? I think I mispronounced it, first of all. But both of you are in very visible professions. Is there any backlash that you feel? I was reading on your social media when you put out the video, and many people were very supportive, but there were some who were not.
Oh, yeah. You know what? And I'll be very honest with you. I mean, and in my video and when I talk about my experience, I spent my entire life caring, and I mean this so respectfully, but honestly, I spent my entire life caring so much about what other people think that I put everyone else's happiness before my own. And And now I'm at a point where I'm kind of just like, honestly, respectfully, I don't care what you like. I my friends and my family and those who support me, I'm moving one direction. And if you don't support me, I mean, good. Okay. You know, goodbye. They're moving the other direction. And, you know, I mean, let's be honest. There's you go through the comments on those Facebook posts. I mean, there's some good ones. I'll tell you that much. There are several people that are not a big fan of me. But you know what? I'm not bothered by it. I really am not. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. But the reality is this does matter. And if for no other reason that there's young people, there's people of all ages who are hurting and not open with their friends and family about who they are. And they need people to come out and say, you know what, this is okay. And that there are people like you, and you can find the support if you're looking for it.
Full disclosure, Alex and I are really good friends. We talk more than just on the air. We talk a lot and quite often. And Alex, in our conversations in the past, because you hit on something, you brought up something, and I want to ask about this because you said that there are those out there in the world that have platforms that are in the NFL, that are in but part of sports teams that don't come out and don't tell, right? Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. How does it make you feel knowing that there are people that you know of that want to keep a secret? But and you know how important it is if they did come out, how much they would really help with this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I can see both sides. You know, I mean, I look back to my struggle and my challenges that I faced, and I'm learning about myself as my brother's going through the Catholic seminary in Minnesota, and it was just it was very, very hard. And for whatever reasons in my private life, you know, it just did not feel like it was the time for me to share my story. But at the same time, if they are open with their friends and whatnot, in their private life, you know, I think it is so important for people who have a platform and who have access to thousands and thousands of people it's a responsibility that I feel to try and make a difference here. Because as much as some will say it doesn't matter, it matters. It matters big time. And, you know, there are some people in a dark place right now. So I view it as a responsibility, especially when you work in a public space to try and do your part. That said, for a variety of reasons, people don't share their story, and I respect that. I just hope that we get to a point where everyone's ready.
Alex Rozier, reporter at WFAA in Dallas, Texas. Former King 5 reporter and friend to the G and Ursula show, good friend of G's. And I'm going to say, I'm so proud of you, Alex. I really am. I saw the talent very long time ago, but not only do you have incredible talent, but you have a huge heart, and you are just going to continue doing such great things. And I can't wait to see what happens in the future for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right. That is Alex Rozier. Coming up next, it is time for your texts, your feedback, and then we'll have Ursula's words to live by. You guys are listening to The Gene Ursula Show. What's up, everybody? It is The Gene and Ursula Show. Happy Tuesday to all of you. It is now time for your texts, feedback, and then we'll have Ursula's words to live by. Ursula?
And when it comes to 206, sending a message because you said you were going to be unfiltered, 206 says, I love the unfiltered, passionate, no-nonsense G. It is a good day.
206 says, criminal past comes into play during sentencing. For the charges and the determination of guilty or innocent, criminal past cannot come into play.
I'm not sure what that meant, but in any case, when it comes to Amazon stacking, 253 says, yes, I was a former Amazon delivery driver, and they used the stack ranking practices against other drivers just before I left about 2 years ago. Amazon's work practices are quite literally setting you up to fail. You cannot win. If you aren't let go or punished for not following their safety practices on the road with their tracking app as you deliver packages, then you most certainly were punished for being too slow. It's no wonder why they can't keep anyone.
360 says, G and Ursula, my wife is an ex-Amazon employee, and she said that that is exactly what they did during her time there in 2018. Have a great one.
In terms of being hot, 253 says, people need to make sure their pets are not out in the sun and have plenty of water. We got so many of those suggestions. And yes, we have shared that. You are correct.
And Drew Lewis on the homeless situation, 206 says, appreciate you both. Drawing attention to issues is part of the solution. If you can keep the ear of government officials and the lines of communication between them and their constituents open, you are making a huge contribution, in my opinion.
Thank you. 206 says, what businesses are left downtown that are able and want to open? The mayor of Seattle and the city council have allowed the destruction of downtown. I tell my out-of-town guests to avoid downtown at all costs. Not safe anymore.
425 says, this is their mess. They need to fix it, not us taxpayers.
Okay, I was chuckling just because I saw the text on the next bunch here. Red Lobster versus Olive Garden. 206 says, if you're all going to start talking about terrible restaurants, can you get Rachel Bell on here to tell G why he's crazy?
253 says, Olive Garden or Red Lobster? I'd rather starve.
Okay, I'm going to skip the next one. Renton Hotel for the Homeless, 757 says, why don't all these organizations providing service to our homeless population work together? Yes. Mm. All the nonprofits, the government entities, religious groups all come together as one, as a clearinghouse for all resources. That will keep politicians honest, and hopefully the money spent will actually go to the cause.
Woo-wee, 757 with that heat. 206 says, I have owned a construction company here in Seattle for over 20 years, and I always ask homeless people if they want to come to work. In my 20-plus years, I have not had one person take me up on that. Call it what you will, it's a lazy problem.
253 says, G is right. All this does is put money in a bunch of other pockets and increase the size of government.
Mm-hmm. The reparations controversy. 425, this is the weirdest feeling. I am agreeing with G on every point today. Am I dreaming? I never thought I'd hear the day that G Scott and Dory Munson agree on something.
360 says, hold on. An attack is one thing. Calling out a group for a bad decision is just honest. Is this the answer to racism? Charging one race over another? It seems to be doing the same thing that we don't want done to us. Also, it's dumb. What if I'm a quarter white? What if I'm white raised in a black family?
G, misreporting the weather. 206 says, all right, Ursula, good job. Thanks for questioning G on his 100-degree weather forecast. Laugh out loud.
Okay, I want to make sure that we have time for one last
Let's
text. Okay. Someone was asking about this honking situation. 253 says, for some reason, about 8 cars in my neighborhood just started honking. Do you guys know anything about this? And it's because I said, anyone who's honk if you've been married to G.
You guys are cold. All right, Ursula, let's get to your... Man, stop it. Let's get to your words to live by.
Oh, my goodness. And we did get some text messages that made me think of this saying after we had Alex Rozier on, who I just love to death. Okay, acceptance of others, their looks, their behavior, their beliefs will bring you an inner peace and tranquility instead of anger and resentment. Go out and be loving and kind and compassionate. Our words to live by are always brought to you by ImmunityProClub.com.
All right. Thanks, Ursula. Great show today. We'll do this again tomorrow, of course. And Chris Martin, thank you for your work. Tarek, thank you for your work as well. And Andrew, we always appreciate you, my man. By the way, Andrew, do you think it's going to hit 100 degrees this weekend?
Not here, but maybe on Kitsap Peninsula. I looked there. My unofficial NOAA information app says 100 over there.
Oh, boy.
All right. All right. You guys have a great rest of your day. We'll do this again tomorrow. Appreciate you for listening. I love you for that. And be good.
And coming up on the Dory Monson Show, he's going to have new details about one of the men suspected of throwing rocks off overpasses on I-5. You're not going to want to miss that. That'll be coming up on The Big Lead. Stay with us.